See you all 13:50.
Good evening and welcome to Burst the Bubble. I'm Michael Quintero, and joining me as a guest this week, it's Dr. Rich Wareham.
Hello.
We're going to be looking at the more unusual news stories from the week, including toxic sofas and what the Scottish police really thought about Nessie. So if you've got any comments on those stories or anything else interesting you think you've seen in the news over the past week, contact us at studio@cur1350.co.uk, or you can go to our website www.cur1350.co.uk and use the online player to send us a message. So yeah, if you've got anything that you want to talk about Nessie, toxic sofas, or today's poll, which is, will you miss all technology like floppy disks when they're gone? Please just get in touch with us.
Live across Cambridge, this is CUR 1350.
Welcome back. This is Burst the Bubble on CUR 1350, and that was REM with Man on the Moon. Now, the first story that we're going to take a look at in the news today is that people are getting compensation for toxic sofas.
Yes, I read this story. It's quite impressive that apparently a Chinese firm had accidentally doped a load of sofas with some very aggressive fungicide, which had been irritating people and caused them chemical burns, which I think basically leads to the conclusion that most of the people in the UK are made from fungus, because they wouldn't be burnt otherwise, because it's fungicide.
I'm sure some fungicides are quite aggressive.
Name three, Minister. Name three. Yes, exactly. You can't answer the question, Minister.
I'm sorry. I don't actually know any fungicides personally. They're not really used in my social circle.
I see. So you just speak on their behalf. Anyway, moving on.
I think this is quite interesting. I mean, you don't expect your own furniture to start turning on you.
Well, that is unless you've sort of bought a swivel chair.
Yeah, there's a different sort of turning.
Mean sort of turning in the metaphorical sense?
Attacking you.
Yes, yeah.
Causing you pain.
Do you remember that wonderful sofa that was in one of the Bond films, one of the ones with Piers Brosnan, I think, where there was a sofa where you sat on it sucked you in and spat you out into the nether regions of MI5?
I can't actually remember sofas doing that.
Oh, it was in one of the Cure things. It was terribly amusing. I would like to have one of those a lot. I think I'd like to have one in my room whenever I have supervisees come around, to be honest with you.
If you don't like your supervisees, you can just press a button and then they'll get... They'll go into a fiery pit. Is that what you're going for here?
Well, pretty much. Being burnt by your sofa would be a good excuse for them, actually. It's better than the excuse they normally come up with. I mean, to be honest, most of the news stories going to cover today could be excuses by my supervisees for not having done work. But just before we move on, there's an important public service announcement I have to make, which is that I've just lost the game. So anyone else who's listening to this has also just lost the game, thanks to all of you. We're going to get some emails about that, I hope. And how can they send us emails, by the way, Michael?
Yeah, you can get in touch with us at studio@cur1350.co.uk or by using the online form on our website at www.cur1350.co.uk, funnily enough.
It's an amazing website. I love all that blue and purple. blue and orange, rather.
You can also phone us if you feel that way inclined.
Good grief, what's the phone number?
01223 850 247.
Is that 01223 850 247?
Yeah, I like the attempt at the end of that to suggest that we're in fact here 24/7.
Well, there's that little guy dressed all in leather in the corner that's here 24/7. I mean, he's chained here. Or is
there's
he a not. CUR 1350 secret?
There's nothing like that here. We've actually got some quite comfy chairs in here, though, which are
amazingly comfy. Although I do feel like I'm getting some chemical burns from them already.
I've not checked these ones out, actually. When I read the story, I was careful about sofas this week, but I've not really come across any sofas, being a poor student who lives in houses with, if you're lucky, a chair in a room.
Well, all I'm saying is that none of these chairs have got fungus on.
I think that's conclusive evidence.
Yes.
Yeah, remember, if any of you have got anything to say about this, in the future we'll also be discussing what the Scottish police thought about Nessie. And please email in with your feelings on the demise of the floppy disk, and will you miss it when it's gone? That's for our totally unscientific poll, which will be approximately halfway through the show. But first, we've got this.
This is CUR 1350.
And welcome back. That was Cyndi Lauper with Girls Just Wanna Have Fun.
It's a personal favourite of mine, that song. I love it. I play it to myself every night to go to bed.
We've had a couple of emails. We've had some people who don't seem very happy with the idea of the demise of the floppy disk.
No, in fact, one person, James, asserted that it will never die, which, again, coming back to my supervisees, I've had tales that USB sticks and CDs, they die all the time and lose work, so perhaps floppy disks is where people should be saving their work.
Should the new work be just on making a much bigger capacity floppy disk?
Well, I mean, how big can we get? I mean, they're 3.5 inches wide. And think about how big a USB stick is, and that holds like gigabytes. So surely, using the power of science, we should be able to get terabytes on them.
Yeah, food for thought there. Another email here from Dave, who seems to be a little bit behind the times. He seems to be saying, demise of the floppy disk? What? Next, you'll be saying that data cassettes are obsolete. So,
Wait, data cassettes are obsolete? I didn't get the memo on that one.
This is the 21st century now.
But I mean, there's like the whole cassette player thing in here. I mean, the little hamster wheel that's powering the entire CUR1350 mixing desk is pretty impressive, I have to say.
Yeah, I think you're seeing things. I had this problem last week, in fact, with my my guest who was just obsessively quoting things, and he seemed to think that there were things here that weren't as well.
Well, you know, we have to look at the evidence here, Michael, and so therefore, 2 weeks on the trot, your guests have seen things in your studio that you haven't. The common cause in this is you. You must be the one with the problem, surely.
That's slightly worrying.
It is slightly worrying.
Speaking of seeing things that aren't there.
Oh, yes.
There's been a news story this week about how the Scottish police believe that the existence of the Loch Ness Monster was beyond doubt.
Yes, I read this story with most amusement. In the 1938, I think it was, the chief constable, nearly made a swear of the air there, the chief constable of Infernessshire raised concerns about protecting Nessie from hunters. Apparently he was so convinced of her existence and worried that someone might try and shoot her and put her on the wall.
Yeah, I feel I should point out here that I don't actually have an opinion one way or another on the existence or not of Nessie. I have been to Loch Ness once and I didn't see a monster, but perhaps I just wasn't looking hard enough. Have any of you seen Nessie, any of you listeners out there?
People who email in photos will get double points.
Yeah, we'd love to see a real photo of Nessie. We've actually got one on the BBC News website, but
that was one that's been proved to be a hoax, unfortunately.
It's quite an old one.
One thing about Nessie, I was doing a little bit of background research on this story in an attempt to sort of make it look like I'm informed and well-read. The first sighting of Nessie that we can find in the historical archive, as it were, is St. Columba in 537 AD, I think, who reported seeing a great monster in the River Ness, which flows into Loch Ness. Although this is a man who started a war about where a bit of paper he had copied out should ultimately rest. So perhaps he's not the most reliable of people to write things down and make quotes about the existence or none of the Loch Ness Monster. Oh, it's 565 AD, sorry, I was checking my notes wrong.
It's interesting that he saw it in River Ness, which is flowing into Loch Ness. It's not gone very far in that amount of time.
Well, perhaps it was the baby Nessie that was coming in, could fit in the river, got into Loch Ness in 565 AD, and then
got stuck,
exactly, and it's probably been driving around. Perhaps it might be a whole family of Ness, and if like the father Ness is swimming around saying there must be an exit somewhere, the lady Ness is saying, come on, why don't you just ask someone? Every so often pops up, they run away. I mean, how are they going to get out if we don't help them? It's horrific. It's in actual fact sort of animal abuse of some form, isn't it? I mean when whales get washed up on the beach, or when they get stuck in estuaries, you know, people tow them out with tugs. Poor old Nessie, he's been going around there for the best part of 1500 years, and what have we done? Taking photos of her.
Yeah, that's I must admit, that's an angle that I had not hitherto thought of.
You see, that's the thing you have to think about. It's a hard-hitting what things that I like to bring up.
Yeah, so has any of our listeners out there heard any... Have any of our listeners out there seen Nessie, or in fact any other supposedly mythical creatures like the Abominable Snowman, for instance? If you have, and even better, as Rich said, if you've got photographic evidence, send it to studio@cur1350.co.uk.
Or I believe they can phone us on 01223 850 247. Is that correct?
Yep, and they can come onto the website at www.cur1350.co.uk, click onto the live player so you can listen to us on there if you're listening on the radio, and then you can just use the form there to send us some emails. So So yes, I would personally love it if we got some evidence on here, a student radio show.
It would be a bit of a scoop, wouldn't it, really? I mean, it would put one over the Tab, who gets picked up by the Sun every so often whenever they run something about Cambridge students doing something wrong. If we could have definitive proof of the Loch Ness Monster within 45 minutes of asking on a student radio show, which probably has an audience of four, and two of those are my mum, because she can't quite work out to switch the radio off once she started. Are you going to keep up some music? You look like you're about to press buttons.
Yep. Yes, I am. So please give us that scoop. But here's some music first.
So you are.
Hello, welcome back. This is Burst the Bubble with me, Michael Quinterio, and my guest this week, Dr. Rich.
Hello.
We've had a few emails in about Nessie there.
A torrent of emails coming in, all from people called Sarah, it would appear.
Yeah, we've got a couple of different Sarahs here. One saying that she saw a Nessie in the zoo once.
Yes, and someone who actually helpfully sent a link to a photo of them, although it did look suspiciously like the family Ness rather than the real monster.
Yeah, I can see how you could get confused between grainy photos of a monster in Loch Ness and a cartoon.
Exactly. I noticed also that another listener of ours called Charlotte emailed in with a clever idea, which I'm sure no one's ever thought of, which is to create a file on a floppy disk called Coursework and then pass a magnet over the disk, hoping that people will assume it got corrupted.
Have your supervisees ever tried anything like that?
No, because I don't set them any coursework.
Surely you set them some sort of work, though.
Well, I generally set them sort of example papers. Like, they have three or four questions they have to answer on paper. There's only so much damage you can do to a piece of paper by passing a magnet over it.
One thing that is coming through on the emails, though, is the number of people saying floppy disks aren't dead, and I still use floppy disks, or, in the case of Charlotte, seemingly wishing that floppy disks were still around.
Which I can only assume means that CUR1350 is being transmitted through a wormhole somewhere in space and coming out some point in the late 1990s.
Yeah, I mean, all these people will probably be sad to hear that, in fact, Sony are going to be stopping making floppy disks from 2011. So if you actually want to get some,
then you better get to the shops before 8 o'clock.
It's a Sunday, the shops will be closed.
Oh well, there we are then.
Yes,
you're screwed. There's no way you can get any more now at all.
Yeah, I think that's quite sad in a way. I remember playing games on old computers and they just came on one or more floppy disks.
Of course, one of the first computers to ship with one of the 3.5-inch hard plastic floppy disks we know and love was the original Macintosh. There's an amusing story about that Steve Jobs, he of the iPod fame, was famously really quite opposed to that. They wanted Apple to make their own floppy disk. And when it became apparent that to the internal team that the floppy disk was not going to be ready on time from Apple, they hurriedly got Sony in to come and sell them their 3.5 disk without Steve Jobs knowing. And there are several stories of actually having to bundle rather confused Japanese businessmen into closets and broom cupboards and all manner of toilets as Steve Jobs came walking through Apple in order to make sure that he wasn't discovered. But luckily, sense prevailed, and we now, the 3.5-inch floppy became a massive success. Could have all been so different, couldn't it?
Yeah, I really do miss, in some ways, that noise that you used to get when
sort
the floppy disk.
That's probably horrific to the letters, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we've lost the modem noise as well.
Oh, yeah, computers
used to be wonderfully noisy, and I've seen videos on the internet of people using these noises to play various music tracks. And nowadays, everything is just so quiet.
So quiet. I'll tell you what else computers don't do. They don't smell anymore. Home computers used to smell of hot dust and sort of the death of many, many families of spiders as they warmed up. They don't smell like that anymore.
My computer still...
smells?
It smells like... It's kind of like hot. It's not quite hot air. It just like it almost smells like the air is slightly singed.
It's slightly been imbued with the power of technology.
Yeah, it seems to be the only air that's coming out the back of the power supply. So I'm not sure whether that means that my computer's about to blow up again.
Now, unfortunately, all of my computers are completely odorless. But then I do own Macs, and I suppose having an odor is entirely unfashionable, and so Macs don't do it.
I think we should stop before we actually get into wars about what sort of computer is best.
I'm not going to claim that Macs are best. I just happen to have them because I'm lazy.
Okay, so So that's the results of our totally unscientific poll of the listeners, that floppy disks aren't actually even dead. So the question was completely wrong, and we shouldn't really be asking it.
I noticed we've got some breaking news coming into the show, into the studio here, that one of your friends appears to have had a baby. Is that correct?
Yeah. We'd like to congratulate Mr. and Mrs. Holding on their new baby.
Who's called Charlotte. So perhaps after she came out of the womb, she then sent us a message talking about how she used to write coursework files on floppy disks and pass a magnet over them. I tell you, like, technology is getting younger and younger and younger today.
It would also be consistent with the idea of this radio show going out through some sort of wormhole. We've now gone from the past to into the future.
All this means, actually, is that there's one of those weeping angels from Doctor Who in the hospital. They've just touched Charlotte as she's born, and she's been sent back in time and now living out her life through the 90s.
I think that sounds quite horrific.
Isn't it?
The idea of Doctor Who weeping angels hanging around hospitals just waiting.
Well, I mean, imagine the amount of potential life energy there. That's a horrific thought.
Yeah, and on that thought, we'll leave you with the horrors of the weeping angels. And please keep the emails coming in if you've got any comments about any of the stories we've covered so far, or in fact, any stories that we've got coming up. We've got coming up that some research has apparently shown that exercise in green spaces is better for you than just exercise anywhere else. So if you feel that is true or false, please email us in. Welcome back. This is CUR 1350, and this show is Burst the Bubble with me, Malcolm Terrio, and my guest, Dr. Rich.
Hello.
That song was Why Don't You by Gramophone Z. I assume that's how you pronounce that.
Oh, well, who knows how obviously, these young people talk about their songs these days.
Obviously, James on the email liked it. He said, jazz win. I'm not quite sure where the grammar was there, but
I suspect the grammar was left somewhere in the wide intertrons.
Yeah, when it was coming through the wormhole into the CUR 1350 studio. Now, we did have some emails about the story that research has apparently shown that exercise in green spaces could be better for you than just general exercise. Francis has said that it's healthier because those with hay fever have to work so much harder than they would if they were in an environment where they could breathe.
You see, I suppose that has a double effect, because once you're in your green space and you have hay fever, when you go back to your room, you can sneeze on your glasses and have a sort of green vision all the time.
I'm not particularly convinced by Francis's argument there, because it turns out the news story is actually slightly more complicated than that.
There's a secondary factor to be think of as well.
Yeah, they found that a bigger effect was seen with exercise in an area that also contained water, such as a lake or river.
Well, again, if you sneeze on your glasses, it has water as well. It's in fact the best exercise medium. Perhaps we should just start issuing specs pre-covered with snot.
I don't know. Perhaps we should just make everyone jealous.
Ah, so everyone's green-faced, and then look in the mirror, or just sort of see everyone jealous around them.
Well, they say green is the colour of envy, so perhaps being jealous and exercising will make you happier, so long as you feel a bit sad and blue. I'm not convinced this is actually working anymore.
No, that's possibly true.
The other interesting thing is that they only needed really 5 minutes of exercise to make you in a green space to make you feel better. I think that sounds brilliant. I can get away with 5 minutes of exercise.
Yeah, well, I had 5 minutes of exercise just climbing the stairs to the studio. I mean, blimey. Yeah.
Climbing.
Well, I will do when I get out. We're in a basement, for all these listeners who don't know. It's the CUR 1350 bunker. I suspect you could probably survive a nuclear attack, meaning that we'd be the only broadcasters left on the air. I mean, how scary would that be, actually?
Yeah, absolutely terrifying. I think we should get some more exercise, to be honest, actually. I think that's something we need to be doing as students.
And do you have any mechanism for getting more exercise?
I don't know. Perhaps moving lectures?
Oh, you mean actual lectures where the lecturer stands on some sort of trolley and moves along and you have to chase up as they speak?
Well, they're saying exercise in green spaces is nice. We could have it in the Botanic Gardens.
Oh, that would be a lovely idea, yes.
I mean, that was really nice. I mean, perhaps just before exams isn't the best time to trial this out.
Well, I mean, possibly it's the ideal time, because we'll have a direct measurement at the end of the term about how well it's been.
Yeah, that's actually, so perhaps we should get in touch with the university authorities and actually tell them about our brand new idea.
Perhaps we could do some sort of double blind experiment whereby people sit their exams while running on treadmills. Actually, we couldn't do it double blind because it'd be quite hard to have people not realise whether they're on a treadmill or not, is it? It'd have to be single blind, it'd have to have all the individuals close their eyes, which again has its own problems. So perhaps it'll have to be zero blind, which isn't very scientific.
No, it's about as scientific as a poll we did about floppy disks earlier.
And what was the result of that poll?
That floppy disks aren't dead, and a few people who haven't used them recently wish they still could.
Right, so it's, which is exactly the wrong result. So using that result upon the treadmill result means that because it's a bad idea, it must therefore be a good idea.
I'm not sure where you're going with your logic.
I'm going the way that the sun always goes with their logic.
Although we asked people earlier to send in evidence of the Loch Ness Monster or indeed anything else, and while we can't be the student radio show that actually determined that a Loch Ness Monster did exist, we have seemed, apparently, uncovered a conspiracy.
Yes, we had an email from someone, I think, who wishes to remain anonymous, or at least pseudonymous, because they've called themselves Sarah, despite that not being their name. They claim it's a conspiracy to hide the evidence for Nessie, which is stored upon a floppy disk somewhere. And by scrapping the manufacturer of floppy disks, floppy disk drives will soon cease to be available, and no one will be able to read the data with the proof of Nessie's existence.
Yeah, I feel slightly worried about taking tips from someone who feels that they have to provide the name Sarah as a pseudonym in addition to their actual name, but obviously trying to curry favour with us because I was mentioning various Sarahs who've emailed us.
Well, clearly. Obviously, this person is a madman, and thus his view should be entirely discounted.
But yeah, if any of you have got any evidence of this conspiracy on the few remaining floppy disks that still do exist, you can get in touch with us, studio@cur1350.co.uk. Ring us on 01223 850 247, or come to the website www.cur1350.co.uk. We just one up more email to try and make people's exercise better for their mental health. You could make everyone wear green spandex, but that could be really quite scary.
Oh, well, not if it was I wearing it. That would look amazing. I would look like a human water balloon.
I just imagined him wearing it, and
I'm also recreating that scene from Basic Instinct at the moment.
No, I can't think about that. I'm just going to have to put some music on just to try and purge myself of that mental image. And welcome back. That was Love Struck by Madness, which wasn't really the song title I wanted after imagining Dr. Rich in green spandex.
Oh, you know you want me.
But moving swiftly on from that, we've got a nice story from Hollywood here.
Yes, I like this story a lot. Of course, we're all familiar with the famous Hollywood sign, but apparently it was in some way doomed. Was that not correct?
Yeah, property developments?
No, it's property developers.
I can't even say them. Property developers were trying to buy the land that it was sat on, the infamous Hollywood sign.
Apparently, it was first erected in 1923, and it was only supposed to be there for a year. And it originally read Hollywood Land, like it was some sort of Disneyland affair thing.
Isn't that what... I'm sure there are theme parks now that are basically Hollywood Land.
Yeah, like Universal Studios, Florida.
Yeah, that would be one.
That would be one of them, yes. They're a fine place to go. I'm not endorsing it, of course. Oh, no, this is the BBC. Yeah, go there. It's a great place.
But, yeah, it's been saved from a last-minute donation from Hugh Hefner, apparently.
Apparently so. Now, I wasn't aware of this, but the previous time it was saved from disaster, the people who maintained the sign offered you the opportunity to sponsor a letter. And Hugh Hefner was also involved in that point and sponsored the letter W. So that's a
I'm really disappointed he didn't sponsor the H.
Apparently the H was already taken. It was first come, first serve on the lettering.
Oh, I mean... Can you imagine, you're just giving lots of money to save an iconic landmark. One letter of it is the first letter of both your first and last names. And then you get there and find that someone's already taken it.
Well, you get the W, which in sort of essence is like a double letter, isn't it? It's got double in the title. It's like two U's. That's why it's called W.
Yeah, but now he's saved the entire sign. Yeah. So
now, one thing I didn't know until I actually checked about the Hollywood sign on Google Maps is you can't see it from Hollywood.
What?
It's, they're there's a range of mountains that provide the perfect backdrop for the Hollywood sign, but the Hollywood sign is actually on the other side of the mountain from Hollywood. So you could see it if you did a beautiful sort of helicopter shot flying over the Hollywood sign, over the ridge of the mountains and down into Hollywood. But when you're actually in Hollywood, you can't see it. So whenever you see any Hollywood signs in the background, you know that the one place it's not being filmed is Hollywood.
Well, that's enlightening. I think most of us listening to that can be say that we were enlightened by that fact.
Exactly. I'm just like a very poor version of Stephen Fry.
And lovely fact here. Apparently, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who we all know now is the governor of California, described the news as the Hollywood ending we hoped for. Well, actually, he probably didn't say it quite like that. Can you do an
Arnie
voice?
The Hollywood ending we hoped for. No, I can't do anything special.
No,
it turns out,
can't,
but, never mind.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that's kind of a nice story, although slightly worrying the amount of money involved. I'm not going to go into that because...
Yeah, it's surprising. Students. I mean, you think about the fact that vandals can do crop circles for next to no money, and the white horse that you get around the wonderful green hills of England is basically just a selection of people dropping bits of chalk everywhere, but the Hollywood sign took $20 million to save, apparently.
That's dollars or pounds?
It said dollars on BBC, and I'm inclined to trust the BBC implicitly.
although they... we've got another story about TV and the world of the media here.
Is this ironically where the BBC did something wrong?
Yes, it is.
Goodness me. What a wonderful segue.
EastEnders broke their rules on privacy, according to Ofcom, when someone's mobile phone number was shown on a mobile phone in EastEnders.
Now, you see, this obviously is a bad thing that a prop phone accidentally showed someone's real mobile phone number. But what I found particularly surprising about this story was that the poor woman, Mrs. Edwards, received over 2,500 messages to her phone after the broadcast aired, some of them being quite abusive, which makes me think what people watching EastEnders thought that actually that mobile phone number was the phone number of the character and they could send messages abusing that character, saying whatever was going on in the plot at the time was a bad thing. I mean, what sort of person thinks it's actually real?
I mean, there's quite a lot of precedent in this area. There have been campaigns to save soap characters from jail before, even though obviously it's just a character going to jail and not the actor or actress.
I do worry, actually, about the sort of people who can't quite discern reality from fiction here. I've got to tell you one thing. Anything that happens on the BBC, and this is a public service announcement here, anything that happens on the BBC between 6:50 and 8:10 at night is entirely fictional. Everything. It's just fiction. Fiction
he's,
2 hours.
He's going to regret saying that when the alien invasion that we talked about last week actually happens.
Oh, well, everyone knows they'll fly over Johannesburg. We've seen films.
Yeah. They'll fly over conveniently all of the top tourist destinations in the world.
Yes, and then simultaneously using a Macintosh computer blow them up.
Yeah, so yeah, if you've got any comments on that quickly, we've got one email here from Jeremy, who says the Hollywood Tourist Board give out rubbish photocopied A4 maps of how to drive from Hollywood to see the sign across a big park. It's utterly anticlimactic.
Yes. I've also done this route on Google Street View, and it does take you quite literally half an hour of clicking to get there. Not that I spend half an hour of my life clicking randomly from Google Street View to get from Hollywood to the Hollywood sign, but you can do it.
Yeah, so that's some procrastination for you if you've got your exams coming. Obviously, we'd prefer you to do your revision quite possibly while doing some exercise in a green space with a lake.
Yeah, so get outside on Travelator, running on the spot, clicking through Google Street View to look at your Hollywood sign while saving screenshots of your endeavour onto a floppy disk. And during that moment, also do some revision.
Yeah, I think that will give you the best exam results possible. And we're going to do this as a test. No, please don't do that.
No, we'll get into terrible trouble.
We don't want to get into trouble. Yeah, so please nobody do that. Thanks.
See you are 1350.
Hello, welcome back. It's nearly the end of the show. So just quickly, we've had an email from Helen saying that on The Archers, they tend to send in baby clothes every time a character gets pregnant.
Which leads me to think that the 2,500 idiots I previously mentioned must therefore also be Radio 4 listeners.
Yeah, and now we're going to go on just quickly to the final part of the show, which is tomorrow's News Today, in which we try and predict the news stories that we're going to be talking about next week.
And I believe we're going to do this by repeatedly clicking the random link article, random article link on Wikipedia and trying to spin something out of the titles we get.
Yeah, because people, students sometimes claim that Wikipedia is sort of a font of all knowledge, so obviously we thought we should extend this to knowledge of the future. So what have we got here in our couple of clicks?
Well, first of all, in Ireland, there appears that there's a new car that's being developed.
A flying car. An actual flying car.
Yes. The designer is from Canada, and his name is Ronald Phil McMartnan.
Dun, dun. So that's something that we can be looking forward to in the future. Also, more worryingly, it looks like they're going to be vampires. About.
Yeah, the vampires apparently are going to come over to Spain and start performing the Macarena.
Yeah, they're also going to not be spelling themselves correctly. They're going to be spelling themselves with a Y rather than an I. I think that's trying to be hip and down with the kids.
Well, that's fascinating news from today.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, we didn't do too well last week. The alien invasion never actually happened, but I think you can be quite pleased about that.
And well, it may have happened. I mean, we have seen today that conspiracy theorists are everywhere. Perhaps the alien invasion happened and wiped our memories and stored them on a floppy disk.
Yeah, that might be it. Not just Loch Ness. We have uncovered a greater conspiracy.
The alien invasion floppy disk mind-wiping conspiracy.
Yeah. So yeah,
see it on the Discovery Channel now.
That's about all we've got time for this week. So please tune in next week for more news stories as we burst the bubble. I've been Michael. He's been Rich. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.